United States Steel, USS, the industrial family that serves the nation, presents the Theater Guild on the air. Our star, Jean Tierney. Our play, The Age of Innocence by Margaret Eyre Barnes. And produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. Every day, everywhere, you are served by products of steel. In your home, in your business, in your travel. The trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. And now, from Broadway, direct from the stage of the Vanderbilt Theater, the United States Steel Corporation brings you The Age of Innocence by Margaret Eyre Barnes, adapted from the novel by Edith Wharton. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Good evening, everyone. Tonight we present the glamorous motion picture star Jean Tierney as Ellen, Countess Olenska, in The Age of Innocence. This is a powerful love story, a moving drama of the conflicts imposed by the conventions and taboos of the Victorian era, when old New York was a good deal younger. Featured with Miss Tierney as Newland Archer is Arthur Kennedy, whose performances in the Broadway success All My Sons and the motion picture Boomerang have won critical acclaim. Estelle Winwood, who is delighting New York theatergoers in Lady Windermere's Fan, will be heard tonight as the Dowager Mrs. Mingott. Cyril Richard, who will shortly be seen in the John Gielgud production of Love for Love, plays Beaufort. And now, The Age of Innocence, starring Jean Tierney. The year is 1870. The place, New York City. It's the nostalgic New York of gas lights and horse cars, of palatial mansions and Sunday afternoon trotting races on the great speedway along the East River. In one of these mansions, located in the elegant Astor Place section, a formal reception is being held. In the ballroom, the huge crystal chandelier winks down on handsomely attired men and women going through the intricate steps of the schottische, the lancers, and the polka. In the adjoining drawing room, the hosts, Mr. and Mrs. Henry van der Leyden and their young daughter, May, are standing in the receiving line, greeting their guests as the footman announces Mrs. Mingott.
Catherine, how nice of you to come early.
Ah, there you are, Louisa.
Catherine, I must talk to you. It's quite urgent.
Really? What is? Good evening, Henry.
Good evening, Catherine.
And May, how are you, my dear?
Wonderful, Aunt Catherine. I've got a big surprise for you.
A surprise, my child?
Aunt Catherine, Newland Archer and I are engaged.
Newland Archer? How nice for you, my dear. Have you told anybody yet?
Not a soul. Not even Ellen.
My granddaughter. Has she arrived already?
Oh, quite some time ago, Catherine. She arrived with Mr. Beaufort, and they've had every dance together.
Shh, Mama.
Well, she hasn't had this one, because here she is now.
Good evening, Granny, dearest.
Good evening, Ellen. Oh, you look lovely. Good evening, Mr. Beaufort.
Now, Mrs. Mingott, as ravishing as usual, I see. May I have the schottische?
Certainly not, sir. And don't think you're making fun of me. I could dance in my time. Why, in the spring of 1821, I taught the Virginia reel to General Lafayette.
Well, madam, since you refuse me, I shall be forced to compromise and have it for your granddaughter. Ellen?
Stop teasing my granny, Eric. I'll come back in a little while, Granny.
All right, dear. Now, Louisa, what did you wish to say to me?
Catherine, it is the opinion of Henry and myself that Ellen Olenska ought to be more discreet, considering her position.
What's wrong with her position?
What's wrong? Why, a young American girl shipwrecked on a foreign marriage, having just returned to New York without her husband, a derelict...
Henry, my dear, we're not on your yacht now. Must we have these nautical terms? Very well, in plain English. Ellen is here and her husband is in Poland. What of it?
What of it? Tell her, Louisa.
Catherine, will you step into the conservatory with me for a moment, please?
Very well, although I can't imagine what it is you have to say to me that your own husband isn't permitted to hear. Come along. All right. right now, Louisa. Out with it.
Catherine, I couldn't mention it before Henry, but really, her gown.
Whose gown?
Ellen's. It has that French look, especially around the bodice. Catherine, why didn't you make her sew in a tucker?
Nonsense. Would you if you had a figure like hers?
Well, look at her there in the ballroom. She's dancing with the Duke of St. Austrey.
What's wrong with that?
Well, just see him staring at her shoulders. I can read the criticism in his eye.
Criticism?
Oh, really, Catherine?
I'm not a bit concerned, my dear, about Ellen's general effect. It's the best I've seen in 40 years, since I was a girl.
Catherine, is it true, the scandal about Eric Beaufort and Ellen in Europe?
Scandal? What scandal?
Well, he did follow her all over after she left her husband, didn't he?
Poppycock.
Well, now he's in America. Would you call that a coincidence?
I regret to say, Louisa, that I am no authority on coincidences.
Catherine, Mr. Beaufort has a wife. Did you know that?
Of course I knew it. A dull, homely-looking female who raises tulips.
And Ellen is still a married woman, a countess. There's been talk. Don't you think, my dear, that
Well, Louisa, if it will keep you quiet, I'll talk to that scallywag Eric Beaufort, find him and send him to me immediately.
Ah, Mrs. Mingott. Have you changed your mind about dancing?
I have not, Mr. Beaufort.
Then you sent for me to make love to you. Very well. Shall we begin?
Make love, make love. Well, you wouldn't be the first man to compromise me in a conservatory.
You're the last, dear lady.
Come here and sit down. Beaufort, I have something serious to say to you, and here it is. Let my Ellen alone.
Why, Mrs. Mingott... But man could let Countess Olenska alone. She's irresistible.
Beaufort, I'm handling this without gloves, man to man. Ellen's not your kind. Oh, she's a Polish countess and a fascinating creature and all that. But she was born an American, and she's an American through and through.
I'm very fond of Americans.
Beaufort, I don't know what happened between Ellen and you in Europe, and I don't wish to know.
Really? I thought everyone was dying of curiosity.
Well, I'm not. What did happen?
Nothing happened, Mrs. Mingott.
Ah, very well. I knew you wouldn't tell me. But I want you to know this. Morals are merely a matter of geography. So take care, Beaufort. Helen has me to look after her now, and she's going to be looked after.
It's an hour later. All the guests have arrived and the reception is in full swing. Out on the little balcony, Mae van der Luyden and her fiancé, Newland Archer, are gazing up at the stars.
Darling, I really must go in now.
Not yet. And don't move. I want to kiss you.
Newland, someone might see
you. What of it? When will you marry me, darling?
Newland, dear, you're so impatient. You know Mama wants a year for my trousseau and the linen.
Oh, trousseau, linen. I want you.
Mercy, Newland. Do you want to elope?
Yes.
Oh, you do love me, Newland, don't you? I'm so happy.
Then why not be happier?
What do you expect me to do, dear? Behave like a girl in a novel?
Why not?
Well, in the first place, wouldn't it be rather vulgar?
Vulgar?
Newland, you really are difficult. Why can't you be like other people? Look at your tie, it's crooked. And your waistcoat, you've got one button left over at the top. Here, let me fix it for you.
Now, this is the sort of attention I like.
Now, stand still while I... Newland, you mustn't. Newland, Newland, there's someone coming. Newland, it's Ellen. Is my gown wrinkled?
No, dear.
Darling, I want you to be nice to Cousin Ellen. She's been away so long and had such a terrible time of it. Ask her to dance, Newland.
Do I have to?
When we were children, she was the only one who ever played with me. She was so wonderful and generous, Newland, even as a child.
All right, but you'll have to introduce us all over again. I haven't seen her since I was...
But Ellen, you promised me this waltz.
I'm sorry, Eric, but I really do need a breath of air. It's so... Why... Cousin May.
Ellen, dear, you remember Newland Archer? Newland, my cousin, the Countess Olenska.
Newland Archer? Wait now, don't tell me. Why, of course I remember.
Ellen, my dear, I simply must have this waltz.
I think you should too, Eric. Why don't you and May have it together?
Oh, an excellent suggestion. May I have the honor, Miss van der Luyden?
Certainly, Mr. Beaufort. Don't forget, Newland, we have the next schottische together.
Do you like being back in America after all these years, Countess?
I love it, but I find it rather touching, too. All these dignified people I see here tonight. I keep seeing them in knickerbockers and little pantalettes, and sometimes their little noses are running.
You've been away too long.
I know, but it's all coming back to me, and with it, all the funny little things I thought I'd forgotten.
Including me?
Of course. We coasted down Murray Hill together.
I remember. You had a little red hood and scarlet mittens.
Crimson.
And a ridiculous little sled called the,
Snow Queen.
That's it.
Do you remember the Christmas cotillion right here at the Vanderleiden? I was 8 years old. You were at least 13 in my secret love.
Was I?
I was very romantic, and I had no partner for the cotillion. And when Aunt Louisa presented you, you said you wouldn't dance with me, that I was too little.
I never did. I deny it.
And I ran into the dressing room and cried in the armchair until my nurse came to take me home. That armchair is still here. I dropped my wrap on it this evening. Rather strange, isn't it? For the same little boy and girl to meet again in the same house after all these years.
What happened to you in Europe?
The little girl became a woman at the age of 17. She married. Well, that's my story. What's yours?
Oh, the usual thing. Harvard, the grand tour of Europe, law school. When the war broke out in 61, I joined up. When it was over, I went west and helped Custer lick the Cheyennes in Kansas.
How exciting!
I suppose so. But you know something? All the time we were pushing them over the Rockies, herding them in reservations, killing their buffalo, I had the funny feeling I was fighting on the wrong side. I guess I was born to fight for the underdog.
I think that's splendid.
Do you?
Of course I do. Which fight are you mixed up in now?
It's the new City Hall. The contractors who put it up. Did you ever hear of William Marcy Tweed?
The Tammany leader?
That's right. He's also the commissioner of public works, and it's a disgrace how he fleeced the taxpayers on those contracts.
Newland, are you in politics?
Yes. Does that shock you?
Shock me? I'm delighted. Tell me more.
Well, I mixed in with the bosses and the bartenders and the ward healers, and I can tell you I found some good men, honest men, like Barney Maloney. And the result of it all was, well, I'm running for state senator on the reform ticket.
Really?
Of course, my friends and my father's friends, they just laugh at me. They say politics is no work for a gentleman.
Oh, but they're wrong, Newland. You know that, don't you? Oh, please don't listen to all these stupid little New Yorkers with their stupid, rich, empty little lives. Believe me, those are the only enemies to be afraid of. The friends who love you and want to make you like themselves. Oh, I hope that when you...
Go on, finish it.
Well, I hope that when the time comes for you to settle down and marry, you'll find the woman who can really help you.
You mean I should marry a lady politician?
Oh, of course not. But if she's the right kind, she'll be interested in politics because you're in it. And if she's the wrong kind, heaven help you.
Why do you say that, Ellen?
Because you'll stop fighting and be miserable.
No woman who loves me would ask me to do that, Ellen.
I don't agree. It's just a woman who loves you who probably would try to stop you. A helpless, adorable, feminine creature who would cling to you and cry like a frightened child.
I see what you mean, but you needn't worry. I'm quite safe.
Then nothing can stop you, and you're bound to win. Meanwhile, we're going to be friends. Is it a bargain?
It is.
Will you seal it by giving me back my lost cotillion? Will you dance it with me here tonight?
Oh, I can't. I've got to run off to the Fireman's Ball on 2nd Avenue. I'm making a speech.
Oh, but you can't turn me down again. I'll go with you, and we'll dance it then.
Would you really? Just as you are?
Of course, unless you think I ought to put on a fireman's uniform.
But you look so...
Overdressed? Well, what about you with your white gloves and dancing
But,
pump?
Ellen, the fireman's ball is not exactly the place for a refined young lady. Why, the last one they held broke up in a riot when Tammany arrived and started to throw things.
A riot? How thrilling. Well, come along. If there's one thing I wouldn't be late for, it's the fireman's ball. What a lovely meeting. And what a heavenly riot. Why did you take me away so soon, Newland?
Good heavens, Ellen. Didn't you see what was going on? You might have been hit by a flying bottle.
I know how to duck. Oh, Newland, I haven't had so much fun in years. Your friend, Mr. Maloney, was magnificent. He had a whole stock of cuspidors lined up behind the bar. Did you hear what he said? They're a darn sight more practical than bottles, ma'am, because they don't break and we can be having the use of them again next time. Oh, Newland, you'll have to take me there again soon.
I'd like to, Ellen, after they get the place cleaned up.
When will that be? Tomorrow? Let's go back again tomorrow night.
Tomorrow? Well, don't you think...
Oh, Newland, imagine going to that stuffy Vanderleiden ball tonight and finding you. We must see a lot of each other.
I'd like to, Ellen, but you see,
Oh, don't tell me you're too busy. I won't have it.
Newland, you've opened up a whole new world for me. I feel years younger. You will come to see me often?
Certainly, Ellen, if you want me to.
Oh, I do. There's nothing in the world I want more. Oh, dear, we're here. Must we go back to the ball?
I'm afraid so. You see, I promised May.
All right. But it does seem such a shame after Barney Maloney. Newland, I've been looking all over for you. Where have you been? Oh, May, darling. We've had the most glorious time. Newland took me to the fireman's ball and the most wonderful riot broke out. But what's the matter, dear? You look pale. What is it?
Nothing.
Oh, I know. You disapprove. You think the fireman's ball is no place for a fashionable young lady.
It's not that.
Surely you weren't worried something might happen to me. Not with Newland there to protect me.
Ellen, did Newland tell you about us?
About you? You too? Why, no. What is there to tell?
We're engaged, Ellen. We're going to be married in the spring.
I'd meant to tell you, Ellen, but things happen so fast. That is...
Of course. And I talk so much. I never gave you a chance, did I? Well, my dears, I congratulate you both. Newland, she's lovely. She'll make you a fine wife. My, how gay that poker is. I simply must find Mr. Beaufort. Excuse me.
Ellen.
Oh, yes, and Newland, about tomorrow night. When you see Mr. Maloney, give him my love.
It's the drawing room of Ellen Olenska's house on West 23rd Street 6 months later. Ellen is seated by the fire, staring rather speculatively at an unexpected visitor, Newland Archer.
Well, Newland, when did you get back from Florida?
This afternoon.
How nice of you to come visit me so soon. You were down there with the Vanderleidens, weren't you?
Ellen.
Yes, Newland.
Ellen, things haven't gone right with May and myself. That's what I've come to tell you about. One of the things.
I don't think I want to hear.
But
I don't think I'd better hear. You see, I couldn't do anything about it.
Ellen, I don't know what to do. Help me.
Oh, I know, my dear. It's a difficult time being engaged. Everyone finds it so. By the way, I've been down to see Barney Maloney again.
You have? Who took you?
I went alone.
Alone? Ellen, this is New York. You can't do these things.
But I did. Barney says Tweed is shaking in his shoes at the thought of your being elected state senator.
Barney said that?
He said you'll breeze through in a landslide with everybody climbing on the bandwagon.
Breeze through, landslide, bandwagon. Who taught you those words?
Barney, of course. I picked up a few even more interesting ones when he didn't know I was listening.
Then you'd better forget them. But let's not talk about him. I want to talk about you. Ellen, you're not very happy, are you?
Don't, Newland. Don't take my hand.
Ellen, May's broken our engagement.
What?
May's broken our engagement. That's what I've come to tell you about.
Oh, no.
That's what I came to tell you. It's not just a lover's quarrel, Ellen. It's the end.
All right. Tell me.
Ellen, when I went south, I'd made up my mind that May and I would get married right away. I was afraid of something. I didn't know what. Well, when I got down there, everything was all right at first, but gradually, little by little, I knew something was wrong. May was the same girl I'd fallen in love with last summer, but I wasn't the same man. I found myself not wanting to make love to her anymore. And after a while, May knew.
Oh, no, she couldn't. She did.
Yes, she did. And last Tuesday, it came to a climax. Ellen, May asked me to give up politics.
Oh, my dear, you mustn't hold that against her. Her mother probably put her up to it.
Oh, that didn't bother me, not a bit. But then, May said if I refused, it meant I really didn't love her. I knew I ought to laugh and take her in my arms and kiss her and make her laugh, too, but I couldn't. Then the truth came out.
What truth?
She said it wasn't politics that had come between us. It was another woman.
But you denied it, didn't you?
Why should I?
Because it's not true.
It is. She knows it, and I know it, and you know it. What's the use of pretending? Don't look at me like that. I felt rotten enough doing it. But way down in the deepest part of me, I was glad. I felt as if something in me had got out of jail. I was free, Ellen. I'm free now.
Oh, poor May. Poor child. But you don't think that's the end, Newland. Why, that's nothing. That's only a little flash of jealousy that flared up for a moment. May understands that now. She's wise and sensible. She'll never let anything so unimportant wreck her life. Why, by the time you took your train, she was beside herself with terror and regret.
She's handed you over to another woman, and the moment she realized that, she made up her mind she couldn't let you go.
If she's handed me over to another woman, well, there it is, and that's all there is to it. Oh, Ellen, my darling, you've got to let me into your life. I can't stand it this way.
You mustn't talk to me like this. You mustn't. It's all wrong.
What's wrong about it? I couldn't help saying it. It's been inside me so long. Ellen, Ellen, my dear.
Don't make love to me.
Ellen, give me a little hope. Not much, just a little. Just enough to go on living by.
Oh, Newland, May and I were children together. I guess I always protected her. Somehow she became my responsibility.
Now she's my responsibility. She'll always be someone's responsibility. I tell you, I don't care. Ellen, I love you, and I...
Newland, please, someone's at the door. Anastasia.
Si, senor, I am here.
Can Zelenska live here?
Si, si.
Here's a telegram for her.
Thank you. A telegram for the Countess.
Thank you, Anastasia.
Well, aren't you going to open it?
Yes. Do you know who it's from?
May.
Yes.
Well, what does she say?
Have decided on wedding Easter Monday, Grace Church, 12 o'clock. Mama agrees to hurry trousseau. Wired Newland, but forgot to ask him to see Rector. Will you remind him? Love from us all, May.
She knew I'd come straight here. She knew I would.
Just a little lover's quarrel, that's all.
The engagement's broken.
It can be mended, can't it?
But I don't want it mended. I'm in love with another woman and I...
And this other woman, married, as I understand it, to another man. Is she in love with you?
I don't know, but I'd hoped...
Don't try living on hope. It's a meager diet. You wouldn't thrive on it. Goodbye, Newland.
But you can't send me off like this. You can't. Ellen, please listen to me.
Listen to me, Newland. There are other things involved here greater than you and me. Remember, I'm a married woman. There would be nothing but misery for you if you broke with May. Why, you would be destroying your life, your career... And there'd be nothing but misery for me, too, knowing I was the cause.
I tell you, it doesn't matter.
But it does. Anastasia! Anastasia, Mr. Archer is leaving.
Ellen, please, you must.
You must go. You've got things to do. Goodbye, Newland. Wait, won't you say... Newland! Goodbye, my dearest. Goodbye.
Listening to The Age of Innocence, produced by the Theater Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here speaking for United States Steel is George Hicks.
Good evening. The other day I discovered why stainless steel is stainless and why it stays that way for years. The reason may be hard to believe, but it's a scientific fact that stainless steel is protected against corrosion by an armor of metallic oxide, which is usually so thin you can't even see it. This armor isn't plated on or applied as a coating. It's always present. And strange to say, if scratched or broken, it repairs itself within 1/100th of a second. As you well know, this miracle metal called stainless steel is becoming more and more important in our everyday lives. You'll see it everywhere, in modern kitchens, in office buildings and hospitals, in streamlined trains, buses, planes and ships. You'll even find it gleaming on wristwatches and costume jewelry. As a matter of fact, it's a favored material today for almost anything that demands enduring beauty of finish, sturdy strength, and long-run economy. United States Steel has played an important part in the development of this miracle metal, which, because of its handsome, self-repairing surface, is called the glamour boy of the steel industry. Although stainless steel is a relatively recent development in steelmaking, its production in this country has increased tremendously over the past 10 years to meet the ever-growing demand. In the future, as in the past, United States Steel will continue to produce stainless steel of high quality at the lowest possible cost. So remember, when you see the familiar USS label on stainless steel, or on every kind of steel, you can be sure it's the quality you want.
We pause now for station identification.
Your station is KECA, Los Angeles.
You are listening to the Theater Guild on the Air, presented by the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of The Age of Innocence, starring Jean Tierney as Ellen and featuring Arthur Kennedy as Newland, Estelle Winwood as Catherine, and Cyril Richard as Beaufort. Archer and May were married in April, and the following November, he was elected state senator on the Republican ticket. It was the first step in the smashing of the corrupt Tweed ring that dominated New York politics. It's now December, 2 months later. In the drawing room of her house on West 23rd Street, Ellen is seated at the piano.
Anastasia? Anastasia, see who it is.
Si, senora, I call.
Good morning, my child.
Granny, come in, darling. Sit down.
Have you read this morning's paper, dear?
About Newland Archie, me?
That young man is traveling too fast for my taste, state senator.
Don't you approve his new tenement house bill, Granny?
I approve, all right. What I don't approve is gentlemen going into politics, all that notoriety. But that's not what I came to see you about, child.
You don't need a reason to come to see me, Granny.
I know that, my dear. I have a letter for you. It arrived this morning. Evidently, you haven't notified your husband of your new address.
A letter? From him?
Well, take it, child. I can't hold it out forever.
No, I won't touch it. Put it in the fire.
But don't you even want to know what it says?
No, please, Granny. I'm afraid of it.
Oh, nonsense. What can there be in a letter to frighten you so?
I won't touch it, I tell you.
Very well, child. I'll read it. Why, it seems harmless enough.
I don't want to hear.
He sends you his love. His aunt, Countess Sobeski, passed away last month.
Oh.
He misses you. She left him a legacy. He's lonely. The legacy is a large one and will enable him to pay back all the money he borrowed from you.
Borrowed?
But it comes to him on one condition.
What condition?
That you go back to Europe with him as his wife.
No, never.
He has engaged passage on the Excelsior and will arrive in New York next week.
I can't go back to him. I won't.
Ellen, what is this?
I'll never live in the same house with him.
But, child, he's your husband.
He's not my husband. He's nothing to me. He hasn't been since... 6 weeks after we were married.
Ellen, my poor child, why didn't you tell me?
Why do you think I ran away from him? Because he loved me. Because he treated me as a man does a woman he respects. Oh, Grant.
My poor child.
I'm never going back to him. Never.
But what else can you do? He's your husband.
There's one thing I can do. I can get a divorce.
A divorce? Ellen, you're not serious.
Who is your lawyer, dear? The man with a funny name.
Letterblair. Stephen Letterblair. You know, Newland Archer's firm. But, Ellen, you can't do this. Our family simply does not divorce. What will the Van der Luydens say?
I'm not interested in what they'll say, Granny.
And the notoriety in the newspapers.
Granny, I want you to make an appointment for me with Mr. Letterblair.
I will not subject our family to this, Ellen, not even for you.
Very well. I shall notify Mr. Letterblair myself. Granny, there isn't anything. Anything I wouldn't do rather than go back to my husband.
Good afternoon, Mr. Letterblair.
Come in, Newland. Oh, we've missed you here in the office. Well, how's the boy, Senator?
Still very green, sir.
Sit down, my boy, and listen to me. That Chesapeake Canal case comes up before the Supreme Court tomorrow, and I'm taking the 4 o'clock for Washington.
I see.
No, you don't see. Newland, I called you back from Albany because I want you to take care of a little matter I prefer not to mention to the other partners, for family reasons.
Whose family, sir?
Your wife's.
Oh?
Newland, Countess Solenska, your wife's cousin, wishes to bring suit for divorce.
Ellen? I haven't seen her since my wedding last spring.
Her decision, I might add, has met with considerable opposition.
From the family?
Yes. Her grandmother wrote me yesterday in great distress. She wants me to make Countess Olenska change her mind. She and the Van der Luydens will be here at any moment to talk it over. You'll have to take care of it for me.
That's impossible.
Why?
I've no time. For one thing, my tenement house bill comes up on the 20th, and for another, Well, I can't take the case, sir, that's all.
Now, see here, Newland. Oh, come in, Mrs. Mingott.
Good afternoon, Aunt Catherine.
Good afternoon, Newland. Stephen, do you think you can bring my poor grandchild to reason?
We'll do our utmost, Catherine. Ah, Mr. and Mrs. Van der Luyden, come in, please.
Why, Newland, what a surprise. When did you leave Albany? How is May?
Never mind that now, Louisa. Good afternoon, Newland. Letta Blair, we are counting on you to prevent this dreadful thing.
I'm sorry, but you see, I've been called to Washington. I telegraphed Newland to come down and help, but he says he won't.
What? What does he mean, Newland? You won't?
Well, you'll have to excuse me now. I have just 24 minutes to catch the ferry. Goodbye, ladies. Good afternoon, Van der Luyden.
Now, Newland, what's all this nonsense?
I'm awfully sorry, Aunt Catherine, but I haven't the time to... Why does she want a divorce?
Well, Newland, the fact is, she's had a letter from her husband.
He's coming over here to take her back to Europe.
Newland, we've got to stop her. She must not get that divorce.
Perhaps she wants to marry again, does she?
No, all she wants is her freedom.
And I ask you, Newland, can freedom compensate her for the publicity of a lawsuit?
Well, it would be in all the newspapers, with pictures, no doubt.
I hope I'm a man of courage, Newland. But my wife and I would have to leave New York. Temporarily, of course, but still... Well, we simply couldn't face it.
But the Count's a gentleman. Why wouldn't he be willing to cooperate?
He won't. He'll fight it with every means in his power.
But that's just what I'm getting at. What means has he?
We may as well tell him, Catherine. Newland, I don't suppose you've heard anything about it, but dear Ellen has been sadly indiscreet.
If she brings this suit, she'll have to face a very grave countercharge.
A countercharge?
Newland, Ellen left her husband under very unconventional circumstances.
What do you mean by unconventional?
She ran away from her husband with Mr. Eric Beaufort, a notorious libertine.
And a married man.
Excuse me, but as I'm not taking the case, these are things I've no right to hear.
Newland, I'm an old woman, and I love my granddaughter. I've always loved her. I've always been proud of her. Don't make me tell this story to a stranger.
Excuse me, Mr. Archer. Madam Olenska's here.
Oh,
Ellen.
Whom did she wish to see, Hamilton?
Mr. Letterblair. But I told her he just left for Washington and that you are handling the case.
Why the devil did you do that?
I'm sorry, sir.
All right, Hamilton, you can go.
You'd better go in and talk to her, Newland.
That's it. Be firm, my dear boy. Firm and frank. No beating about the bush.
But there are other reasons why...
Please, Newland, for the sake of a very old woman who has very little left to live for.
Very well. I'll see her.
Newland, believe me, this is just what I hoped to avoid. I thought Mr. Letterblair would handle
it. What can I do for you, Ellen?
Newland, I'm in great trouble.
It's my business to help people in trouble. That is, if they'll let me.
Can you help me to get my divorce? Can you help me to get it immediately?
I think so. Now, if I'm to be your lawyer, may I ask you a few questions?
Certainly.
Is there any chance of your husband fighting the case?
How could he?
With countercharges.
Countercharges?
Yes. Saying things that might be disagreeable to you, things that might harm you, no matter how untrue they were.
But if they were untrue, how could they harm me?
New York is a very small world, Ellen. It's ruled by a few people with old-fashioned ideas. Our legislation favors divorce, our social customs don't. Ellen, when you left your husband, did you go alone?
No, I couldn't. I was in a remote corner of Poland, without friends, without money, and terribly afraid. So I telegraphed to Eric Beaufort. He did what no one else would have done. He faced my husband. He took me away.
Then it's true.
Yes, I owe him a great debt.
He traveled with you?
Yes, to Dresden and Paris and London. He put me on the boat at Liverpool.
He loved you?
Yes, but he never reminded me of it. Do Granny and the Van der Luydens believe that Eric Beaufort was my lover? Oh, Newland, do you?
No, Ellen, I do not.
Thank you.
But all the same, you were very silly. You ought to have known better. You ought to have realized...
Oh, don't scold me. And besides, I didn't lose my head entirely. Remember, I had Anastasia.
Your maid?
Yes, she was with me every minute. Wouldn't her evidence prevent misconstructions?
It'll help, but don't worry, my dear. I believe we'll win this case. Now, just pretend I'm Mr. Letter Blair, and we'll be quite businesslike and work it out together. Suppose you begin by giving me the facts.
It's very hard to speak to you of my husband.
Tell me just once, my dear, then forget it forever.
I was quite young when I married him, barely 17. Such happiness as I had didn't last very long. 6 weeks of me was enough for him, and then...
Other women, I suppose?
Oh, yes, other women. The first was a peasant on the estate, hardly older than I was. She always haunted me. She had the baby I wanted so much. Oh, Newland, when I think he's on his way to New York, that I may have to see him, hear his voice, be in the same room with him, I... Newland, what are you thinking?
I was thinking how we coasted down Murray Hill together and how you looked in that little red hood.
Oh, Newland, don't. I can't bear...
Why didn't you tell me before, Ellen? Why didn't you send for me to help you?
Because... Oh, Newland, you shouldn't be here now. You shouldn't have come back into my life.
All I know is I never should have left...
Don't say that. I've staked everything I have on the success of your marriage.
My marriage. Ellen, we can't go on like this.
You must, and you can, if I can. Oh, Newland, my dear, don't spoil it all.
I'm not spoiling anything.
I mustn't see you again, Newland. We mustn't see each other.
And that's to be all for either of us?
What else is there?
I'll show you what else. There's this.
Oh, Newland, stop. Let me go.
Ellen, listen to me. Things can be arranged. I'll speak to May. I'll tell her about it. She'll understand. She'll free me. We'll get your divorce. That's the first step.
I don't want my divorce.
But I thought your freedom.
No. Now that you've kissed me, I don't want to be free. I'm afraid to be free.
Ellen.
Goodbye, Newland. Say it. Say goodbye.
No, I'll never say it. I'll never say goodbye to you, Ellen.
You are listening to The Age of Innocence, produced by the Theatre Guild on the Air and presented by the United States Steel Corporation. And here again, speaking for United States Steel, is George Hicks.
Though you might not guess it to look at her, a cat is one of the favorite individuals in a certain United States Steel plant. Her name is Aunt Buta, and she lives in the Wilson-Snyder plant of the Oil Well Supply Company at Braddock, Pennsylvania. Aunt Buta doesn't have the figure she once had, and she's lost most of her teeth, but that's to be expected when a cat reaches the ripe old age of 18. Nonetheless, she's a pampered mascot with the employees of this plant. To them, she symbolizes safety, because she's lived in this busy shop for all of her 18 years without losing even one of her 9 lives. And this belief in her was strengthened a few weeks ago when this oil well supply plant chalked up a record of 1 million man-hours worked without a single lost-time accident. Not one man had been off the job because of a plant injury in 19 months. That's quite a record for any plant, and especially for a heavy machine shop which makes pumps for ships in the petroleum industry. This remarkable safety record is the result of real team accomplishment. It started in 1945 when every worker in the plant pledged personal responsibility for plant-wide observance of safety rules. These men, who are highly skilled in making quality machinery, decided to use some of their skill to keep themselves safe, too. In practice, employees help each other in a friendly way, much as members of a football team help each other obey training rules. If a man forgets to wear his safety glasses, for example, a fellow worker has a word of caution. Safety discipline is not turned on and off. It's a part of each man's daily job. The employees think about safety devices, too. Many new ones, based on their suggestions, have been installed. Piling up 1 million safe man-hours of work isn't easy. But the men at this plant have learned how to keep safe, and they have their sights set on 2 million accident-free man-hours. They're determined that they and Aunt Buta will make it. With such programs and willing cooperation, United States Steel is working constantly in all its plants to keep its employees safe. The motto, Safety First, which was born half a century ago in the United States Steel Plant, is still the most important rule. The safety and welfare of all its employees is one of the major responsibilities of the industrial family that serves the nation, United States Steel.
You are listening to the Theatre Guild on the Air, presented by the United States Steel Corporation.
And now the curtain rises on the third act of The Age of Innocence, starring Gene Tierney and featuring Arthur Kennedy, Estelle Winwood, and Cyril Richard. It's evening a few days later. In the drawing room of Ellen's home on West 23rd Street, the lights are dimmed, the logs blazing in the fireplace as Ellen and Eric Beaufort listen to Saramente, the great piano virtuoso, playing Wagner's Liebestod.
Senor Saramente. Magnificent.
Bravo, Carlos. I never heard you play it so well, not even that night in Paris.
Paris. It is a long distance away, no? Beaufort, you remember those Sunday nights and the music?
Oh, I remember, senor.
Such nostalgia. I wonder that you Europeans care to visit us. Why do you?
Because, Countess, Americans pay me $1,200 a night for a little Chopin.
Oh, you are shameless.
No. I am practical. If it were not for the $1,200... But you, Beaufort, why do you remain here in America?
Yes, Eric, why do you?
There's something that interests me here.
Is not the same thing to be found in Europe?
No, Carlos. It's a law of nature that one thing cannot be in two places at the same time.
This talk I do not understand. Ah, well, I must be off.
Oh, no, not yet.
I have a rendezvous with an American sleeping car.
How romantic. Where are you going?
Heaven and my manager must answer that. Buffalo, Chicago, Milwaukee... All I know is that there will be a piano and a pitcher of ice water.
And $1,200.
Thank heaven. Good night, my dear Contessa.
Hasta luego, senor.
Adios, amigo.
Au revoir, Saramante. I may stay, may I not, Ellen? Just a moment longer.
Of course, Eric.
What are you going to say to him?
To whom?
To your husband.
I shan't see him.
After he has crossed 3,000 miles of ocean to see you?
Not to see me, to recover his fortune.
Nevertheless, my friend, you will see him.
Why?
Because Count Olenski has an excellent habit of getting what he wants.
Not always, my dear. I can remember a time when he failed most miserably.
Yes, I assisted in that failure. But then I, too, have a habit of getting what I want. This time, however, I may not be at hand to influence your husband.
Please don't.
He's a fascinating fellow, your husband. He will come, be seen, and conquer. He will captivate the van der Luydens. You'll persuade even your grandmother that a bad husband is better than none.
I shan't see him. They can't make
it. I think they can. Unless...
Unless?
Unless once more you run away.
And where should I run to this time?
I have made a plan.
A plan? What is it?
My yacht is in the harbor. It leaves no trail. Tomorrow it sails for the Caribbean.
So?
I've arranged a party that will amuse you.
Will it? Are you so sure?
Yes. No doubt New Yorkers, delightful European exiles like ourselves... All friends of yours, including the great Sandor Malatini and his fiddle. He's already accepted.
How splendid. He could entertain us on dull evenings.
Yes, that's what I thought. Is there anyone else you'd like?
Yes, just one.
Who?
Your wife?
My wife, unfortunately, is a bad sailor. She doesn't like the sea.
Oh, I don't know why I'm laughing. You're outrageous.
Would you consider it too early if we sailed at 10?
No, please.
I'm serious. It seems there's a tide at 10 o'clock, and your husband's boat is due at 12.
No.
Ellen, there's a little town called Saint-Pierre in the French West Indies. It's such a twinkling, gay, heartbreaking little town, forgotten in a lonely sea. I spent a month there once. The days are fairy tales. The nights are love songs.
Are they?
Yes. And there's an old white house which overlooks the bay. It has a garden filled with yellow roses. It stood there for 100 years... Just waiting.
For what?
For you and me to come and live in it.
Oh, poor, disappointed house.
10, 11, 12. Ellen, I've waited a long time for this moment. Just now you heard a little French clock strike midnight. I heard a great bell striking the hour of my fate. It's in your hands. My whole life is in your hands.
No, don't say these things to me.
I must. The hour has struck and the old words are ringing in my ears. Lo, at midnight a cry was made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Ellen, my dear, I'm not the bridegroom I'd like to be. I'm not all young and splendid with spring in my heart. I'm a man whose road is already stretched uphill. I'm hungry and thirsty and infinitely tired. And now across my path at evening falls the light from your window.
Does that mean so much to you?
Yes.
Eric, my dear, I can't.
I wish I could, but I can't.
Couldn't you even try?
No. One can't control love. One can't tell it to come or go. We know only that suddenly, sometime in our life, there's a light where there was darkness, or perhaps there's only darkness where there was once transfiguring light.
Then you know. You felt it too.
Why not?
He came. The bridegroom came.
He came, and I drove him away.
I see. He will come back, Ellen.
No.
He will come back. And that being the case, Madame Olenska, shall we forget the last few minutes?
Eric, oh, my dear.
Dear me. After 12, isn't it? I must go, my dear Countess. Good night.
Good night, Eric. And thank you for everything. What are you doing here at this hour?
Ellen, I've been waiting outside in the street till Beaufort left. I wanted to see you alone.
Here, give me your hat and coat. Sit down.
I can't sit. I'm too excited. Ellen, I've come to my senses. I've come to bring you to yours, to take you away with me.
Newland.
Listen, Ellen, I knew it must happen. You knew it, too. We both knew it from the moment I kissed you. It changed everything. Nothing else counts.
I don't belong in your life, Newland. I don't. I don't.
Yes, you do. And anyway, it's too late. Ellen, I've told May.
Oh, Newland. Oh, how... Good.
Listen to me, dearest. I've been in hell all week, knowing your husband was coming, knowing you needed me, thinking of you every minute. But it wasn't until last night that it really came to me, that I felt certain of what we had to do.
Last night?
Yes. We're alone after dinner. May was sewing by the fire. I watched her hands moving back and forth in the lamplight.
Go on.
And I knew in all the years to come, I never could share a single thought with her or a single feeling. And then I thought, Ellen, I couldn't help it. I thought... What if she should die? Die soon and leave me free. She might. People do. Even young people sometimes. And suddenly I realized what I was thinking. I realized I was looking at my wife and wishing her dead just because she stood between us.
Nolan, don't talk like that. Don't think like that. You must.
Oh, it was over in a moment. When I saw that our going away together would solve everything. It's so simple. May wasn't an enemy any longer. She was just someone I felt terribly sorry for.
And you told her about us?
No, not then. I lay awake all night planning. This afternoon, I took the train from Albany and came here. I left her a letter.
A letter? Oh, no.
I told her the truth, Ellen. I told her I loved you. That I'd always loved you since the night we met. I told her goodbye.
Oh, Newland, think what you're doing to yourself and your future.
What do I care about my future? I mean politics. Now, Ellen, everything's been attended to. I wrote my party leader in Albany. I left the note with May's letter and asked her to give it to him.
So I've ruined you. I knew I would. I couldn't touch your life without spoiling it. Well, Newland, what do you want? Shall I be your mistress since I can't be your wife?
No. I want to marry you. I want to have you always with no shadow between us. I want to take you to a place where we'll be just two human beings who love each other and where nothing else in the world matters.
Oh, my dear, where is that place? I know so many who tried to find it and failed.
We'll find it.
You won't be happy, Newland. You can't be. Darling, I'm not the great love of your life. Your great love is your career and doing good for people. You must work for them, defend them. And you can't. You can't, Newland, if you put me first.
Without you, nothing is worth
defending.
Oh,
but it is. You know it is. My darling, listen to me. We're here tonight in this little room of mine, close together and shut in and safe. But we can't go on. We're chained to different destinies. Oh, I'm not afraid of separation. I'll have you always in my heart, even if you're half the world away. I'd be lonely and afraid, but the loneliness and the fear are all gone now. When I turn back into my thoughts, I'll find you there.
You mean I won't see you again, ever?
It must be, Newland. Have pity on me. It's the last thing I ask.
But, Ellen...
Please, go away. Please, I can't stand it. Not a moment longer. Oh, dear Lord, why don't you go?
Very well, Ellen. Goodbye, my dear. And this time...
No! Don't leave me.
Oh, my darling, I'll never leave you. I want to hold you in my arms like this always.
Oh, yes, darling. Oh, yes. Kiss me again. Oh, my dearest.
the little trunk, pack my clothes, then take down all the pictures, get the furniture ready, and send everything to storage. I'm leaving tomorrow, Anastasia. I'm going away.
For long, Senora? Alone?
Forever, Anastasia. With him. With him. Oh, my dear. At last.
But, Senora, the Count and the Grandmama.
Oh, what do I care about anything? My husband, Grandmama, the world. Nothing can stop us now.
Mrs. Newland Archer is here.
Oh, I'm very sorry. I think the Senora, she's asleep.
At 10 in the morning?
I go see, Senora. You will come in, please.
What? Oh, you're taking everything down.
Are you house cleaning? No, Senora.
Is Madame Olenska planning to leave town?
I don't know, Senora.
Will do, Anastasia.
Si, Senora.
Good morning, May.
Good morning, dear. I just arrived from Albany. Ellen, did you see Newland last night by any chance?
Yes, he dropped in rather late. I'd been giving a little party for Saramente. You know, the pianist...
Did you talk with him? Newland, I mean.
Yes, I talked with him.
Did he seem tired, Ellen?
I thought he seemed rather under a strain.
Ellen, I think something's bothering him. Oh, of course, it can't be important so long as he keeps his sense of proportion. But I think that's just what he's been losing lately. Nothing ought to count with Newland ought to except his career.
Nothing.
I've come to see that so clearly. I know I used to be awfully stupid about politics, you know, the things he's so interested in. But now I really believe he'll be the next governor of New York. Papa is certain he'll end in Washington. Wouldn't it be splendid, Ellen? Some United States senators are really very distinguished, you know. And, Ellen, I want you to know I shall always give you the credit for seeing it first. It was very clever of you.
Thank you.
So now you must help us save him, Ellen. He's so impulsive. He dashed off yesterday without a word, just leaving me a note to give to his party leader. And you know what he said in it? He said he was going away on a matter of great importance and couldn't get back to present his tenement house bill on the 20th.
Really?
Of course, I didn't deliver it. He's got to come back, Ellen. That bill must be passed. The people of New York must have fire escapes and ventilation in their tenements. As for Newland, well, it will be the turning point of his career. Don't you think so, Ellen?
Yes, I do.
Of course, I understand so completely his wanting to get away. For a trip, you know. I think after his bill's passed, he should. But he doesn't want to go alone, Ellen. That's just the difficulty. You see, I can't very well go with him because I haven't told him yet, but... Oh, Ellen, I know he'll be so happy. You see, Ellen, dear, I'm going to have a baby.
Oh, May... How lovely. How lovely for you.
Yes. And for Newland, too. He loves children. He's always wanted them.
I know.
I understand your husband's arriving today to beg you to forgive him. Oh, Ellen, if only you could.
I have. You're the first person I've told.
Ellen, do you mean it?
Yes, I'm going away. I want to leave New York quickly.
Oh, Ellen... I hope someday you'll be like me and have the happiness of a child.
Not all women are lucky enough to have children, May. There are other things a woman can do for the man she loves.
Yes, I suppose that's true. But I think with Newland, the children come first. Don't you?
Oh, you're right. Children come first, before everything.
I think I must go now. Ellen, perhaps we haven't always been fair to you. I think I know how it was. I can quite understand that you just wanted a little excitement.
That's very wise of you, dear. May, will you tell Newland I'm going?
Oh, yes, dear. We'll all miss you, Ellen. You've brought so much into our lives, so much that was foreign and fascinating.
Did I? Goodbye, May.
Goodbye, Ellen. And God bless you. Anastasia!
Si, Senora, si. Mr. Archie, si, Senora.
When he comes back, Anastasia, to take us to the train. Don't let him in.
Don't let him in?
Don't let him in. I can't see him.
Oh, dear me.
Tell him I've changed my mind. Tell him I can't talk about it. Tell him I've gone to the boat to meet my husband.
The curtain has fallen on the Theater Guild on the Air production of The Age of Innocence by Margaret Eyre Barnes, sponsored by the United States Steel Corporation, starring Jean Tierney as Ellen, and featuring Arthur Kennedy as Newland, Estelle Winwood as Catherine, and Cyril Richard as Beaufort. Other members of the cast included Winifred Lenihan as Louisa, Reynolds Evans as Henry, Dion Chadwick as May, John Forsythe as Hamilton, Agnes Young as Anastasia, and Edwin Jerome as Salamanca. And here is Roger Pryor with a word about next week's play.
Next week, ladies and gentlemen, the Theater Guild on the Air brings you John Galsworthy's thrilling drama, Escape, starring the distinguished motion picture star George Sanders and Penelope Ward, lovely star of the current Broadway success, Lady Windermere's Fan. Escape, which was a Broadway and London success, tells the story of the help and hindrance a hunted man encountered trying to escape from prison. Featured with George Sanders and Penelope Ward are Romney Brent, currently appearing in the Broadway hit Joan of Lorraine, Everett Sloan, the well-known motion picture and stage personality, and Maria Manton, the interesting new stage and film player. Be sure to listen next Sunday to John Galsworthy's thrilling drama, Escape, starring George Sanders and Penelope Ward.
This week is National Boys Club Week, and we take pleasure in saluting the Boys Clubs of America. This national organization is providing inspiration, guidance, and instruction to 250,000 boys who are preparing themselves for good citizenship. And it's doing a fine job of combating juvenile delinquency. If you are interested in a boys' club for your community, drop a postcard to Boys Club of America, New York 16, New York. Remember, next week, Escape, starring George Sanders and Penelope Ward. And remember, too, that the trademark of United States Steel, USS, on any steel product is your guide to quality steel. The Theater Guild on the Air is under the supervision of Lawrence Langner and Teresa Helburn, with Homer Fickett, director, Carol Irwin, production executive, and Amina Marshall, executive director of the radio department. Music was composed and conducted by Harold Levy, and the play was adapted by Arthur Aron. Jean Tierney has appeared through the courtesy of 20th Century Fox and may soon be seen with Rex Harrison in The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Your announcer, Norman Brokenshire. The United States Steel Corporation hopes that you'll be with us next Sunday. Remember, you will hear this program at the same time next Sunday as you have tonight, whether your section of the country is on daylight saving time or not.
ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.